The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by Citrix, offering GoTo Assist, remote support made easy.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjoe Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjoe Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is, can an IT leader create the optimal portfolio? And our guests for today's show are Frank Wander, who's the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer for the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America. Morning, Frank. How is it going?
Things are going very well, Sanjog. Thank you.
Great. And so is the new year looking like that you're going to go gangbusters with the business there?
We had a very, very good year last year, Guardian. We achieved excellent sales results in every one of our businesses. Earnings are very, very strong. We've been growing across the board, and we've actually set aside a lot of money for investment this year in IT. So IT spending is healthy. We have a lot of initiatives on the plate, and being IT folks who like to build stuff, we're looking forward to having some fun.
Great. This sounds like a very promising year to you then.
I would say that is the case. The firm over the last 3 years has done very, very well, including during 2008 meltdown. So we're looking for some continued success.
Great. Good luck to you. Mm-hmm. Now, we also have Zahid Afzal, who is the Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer with the Huntington Bank. Good morning, Zahid.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thank you.
So you are my snow buddy. I guess even Frank is, because all of us are in Midwest or East Coast in the United States, and that brings us ton of snow in the last, a month or so? So how are you dealing with that, plus all the business pressures that you have?
Well, thank you for sending all that white stuff our way, which normally we don't get it, but I have a lot to thank you for. Business is doing great. We came out of the downturn very, very strong. We had a very profitable year, 89% stock appreciation, tremendous growth from a quarter over quarter from both organic perspective as well as reduced loan losses, things of that nature. So we're really pumped up for this year. We do look at this as an opportunistic year for us as a company.
Great. So now, to start with as a question, and the topic for that matter, optimal portfolio. Now, is like going after the Star Trek version of what you can build in IT? That means you're trying to build an optimal portfolio which will solve all our problems. We'll always be ready with what you want to do as a business. Now, is this truly something that we should look at achieving and reach the final state, or we can always keep pursuing this moving target? And is this truly an art or a science to go after this? Zahid.
Well, Sanjoe, first of all, there is no magic bullet to this. There is no Star Wars syndrome here. This is all hard work. This takes careful planning. It is, to me, both art and science. You can make it quite a bit of science through the measurement structure, whether it's priorities, whether it's business value definition. And then the science part is really the art of negotiation of what approach we take, what scope we work with, things of that nature. I'll give you an example. We started our enterprise-wide sales management initiative last year, and the art part of that was to make sure that we had the right business value assigned to it in terms of their cross-sell goals, referral goals, things of that nature. And then the art part of that was to go and work with the approach, which we work with each business line and said, we're going to roll out a release every 2 months. But that means that number of you will have to get in line. You're not going to get all of that up front. And we negotiated that based on where we can drive the biggest value earlier on.
So, Frank, in your view, is this something a moving target, or do you think you can create a snapshot as a milestone and go after it and then create the next snapshot and or a milestone and then go after it? Because it's so fluid. Our business is so fluid. Our business priorities are changing. So can we truly say we're done with this?
You know, listen, I think that, planning and refining your plans and objectives is a process that really never ends because things are always changing around you in the marketplace. So I would say successful portfolio planning really comes down to a number of things. And, at its root essence, you're taking a group of talented people in cross-functional roles who are working together to attempt to achieve the best possible investment outcome based on a portfolio of projects for the corporation. So I could tell you how we do it here at Guardian. First of all, we have, an enterprise governance model where there is an enterprise planning process. And what that does, it aligns a set of different businesses around a set of strategic objectives. And then at a business and support center level, IT being a support center, we have plans, and the businesses take, in essence, the enterprise strategy and the specific business goals that they have, and they create, I would say, a very, very well-aligned business plan. We align all of that, ultimately, by having an organizational model where IT, at least here at Guardian, is embedded in the business in a federated model. So IT has a seat at the table, and there is a certain amount of give and take and debate. We have people with opinions. As Zahid mentioned, negotiation. There's a lot of negotiation that takes place. But ultimately, you have this cascading set of strategies and plans that ultimately lead to a very, very detailed portfolio. And we do have a portfolio planning and management process that's tool-supported. We run a product called Clarity. We're still really refining it. I think a good tool that allows you to take your portfolio, manage it, and at the end of the day, begin to value the results is very important. You know, we have continuing work in that area to refine it and make it better. But at the end of the day, it's a process, a lot of hard work, good governance, and really, I would say, deep collaboration to arrive at what I would call a meaningful result for the corporation. And it does, in fact, change because the market changes, needs changes, people's understanding of what you're doing and the benefits change over time.
Now, Frank, the question I have for you is that everybody in the organization usually has an agenda. And you can say this is the optimal mix, but in somebody else's eyes, where his or her individual agenda is not met, they would will veto that decision. So, do you keep fighting that political battle, or are you ever get to that optimal state?
Well, there's a decision made up front on the level of investment that's going to be made in each business. So, depending on the business and the possible return on the invested dollars, there is a portfolio that's built around that, and that's where the debate takes place. So I think we've done a good job optimizing the roles and who owns what to the degree that we can as a corporation. And that means that the debates take place at a more meaningful level of what are we going to do with this individual business and what's the return on investment. The firm does look economically at the corporation as a whole, but I would say that, we've defined the roles, the budgets, and the other things very, very clearly so that through good governance, right, the roles and responsibilities are clear, and therefore the debate that we have is about exactly what we're going to do in the return and not so much people fighting over pieces of turf.
Zahid, what do you think about the governance? Now, can you truly use governance as a way to get people on a level playing field where people who may have more influence may get their projects included in a portfolio versus otherwise?
Yeah, and Sanjog, just to add to what Frank said also and to answer this part of the question, I mean, the governance structure, having that governance structure align with the business areas is, to me, it's really, really critical. I mean, that's really where the criticality of this political aspects that you're alluding to, as well as the squeaky wheel type of analogy that you can eliminate. We drive that through business value. Business value that's driven by a business case framework that we've been working on enhancing, continuously enhancing over the past few years. And that business, once you start to define what business value you're trying to derive, so if it's a business case that says, I'm going to go generate X amount of revenue, and it conflicts with another, the same set of resources or skill sets for another business case that has a lower value, then the decision is pretty simple. It's not a decision that the IT organization should be making. That's a decision that the governance structure should be driving. So we facilitate that process with the right level of engagement with our business partners being at the table. And then sometimes there's a pushback, sometimes there's a trade-off discussion, and sometimes it's a no-brainer.
Now, are you on the same page that we all want to go in, go ahead together? So people that you might be negotiating with or you might be getting blessings from for which projects, initiatives have to be really put in the portfolio are business users. And they really do not care as much about how IT functions. They want to get their job done. Do they really want to spend the time with you as much? Frank?
Well, look, we have a very deep working relationship with our business partners. So because of the way we're structured with IT embedded in the business, actually, we have a very natural dialogue at the level of line of business and the enterprise over what we have to do. But, you know, choices have to be made. And as a corporation, we have a fixed amount of money that we're going to spend on large initiatives in any given year. And, you know, as Zahid said, you know, having a good business case that you can take forward as a business leader and make a better case than somebody else, obviously you're going to get the funding that's needed. So clearly people do have to actually put a stake in the ground and be able to make a better case than someone else in order to get some of that funding for what they need. That said, each line of business has its own funding to get done what it needs for the business. And then we have initiative-level funding at the corporate level for some larger things, and there is some fighting over that. But ultimately, our dialogue is good. IT and the business work well together because of the way we're structured. So I'd say we have very good alignment, and you know, there is engagement and there is a seat at the table.
So Zahid, if you were to go out and say, I will build the best portfolio that's possible, but guess what? I've been given a mandate as well to do more with less or more with nothing. How close to that optimal can you get to when you have such constraints posed? So you want to eat the cake and have it too.
Yes, Sanjok, and I don't think that we're the only one out there that have that issue. That's a very common issue across the peer groups and other industry folks that I converse with about this topic. For us, it's generally 2 to 3x is where we start with. Every year we start with having 2 times, 3 times, sometimes even more demand for what needs to get done. And that's really where the whole governance structure, the process that Frank also described, is very, very critical. So we go from starting somewhere around, 1,000 requests or so just at the project level, and where we settle on is close to about 300 or so projects. The point I need to make there also is that we can't just manage the demand aspects of it. We also have to create nimbleness, flexibility in the IT governance processes as well as the resource and capacity planning processes. So, for example, we built a ramp-up model for our capacity to say, if we go to 2x, this is what it's going to cost and this is what it's going to take to do that, and here are the ramp-ups and the risks involved and things of that nature. And if the corporate makes the decision to say, we're going to go and have the 2X, the funding available, we could go ramp that up. That's what I mean by flexibility. And that comes from a lot of hard work, a lot of planning to make sure that we can execute on that type of ramp-up model. So that's one. The second is to be able to have some flexibility in the plan, because we can't assume that we will plan for the entire year and that portfolio will stay static. That doesn't work. We have to have some flexibility throughout the year, as Frank alluded to, that as market conditions change, regulatory requirements come in, we find things in our operational areas that need to improve or get fixed and what have you, that we've got some flexibility in the process to accommodate that.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back and get into the questions. And I'll start with you, Frank. Is building this optimal portfolio, or at least planning for it, is it like predicting weather? Because we do not know what it's going to be. And if it doesn't turn out to be an optimal portfolio, guess what? We can always say the business needs change and we we do not need to really stick to the benchmark that we used in the first place to build one as an optimal portfolio. Let's answer this question when we come back. Please stay tuned.
Okay.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Cloud computing is on the rise, yet many IT professionals are hesitant to adapt due to concerns about security and reliability. If this is you, join Chen-Shi Wang, security analyst at Forrester, for a webinar on February 23rd as she addresses the most pertinent questions surrounding cloud security and software as a service. This free webinar is brought to you by Citrix GoTo Assist. To register, visit gotoassist.com/cloud. That's gotoassist.com/cloud. Don't miss out.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Frank, can we call building an optimal portfolio as an activity similar to predicting weather, because we have a benchmark of saying this is going to happen, but if it doesn't, then you know what? God is the one which we could possibly blame or attribute this change to.
You know, I would say that if you have an IT organization that goes out and builds a portfolio of IT projects and tries to sell them to the business, that's about as good as a weather forecast, and I would recommend that no one do that, right? You're not going to end up in the right place. If, however, everybody is collaborating together in a meaningful way, and the business and IT are sitting at the table, and they're really talking about what they have to get done and making the hard choices at the end of the day, you're going to get the best portfolio you can at that moment in time. And because the nature of the underlying demands are always changing, you do need a demand management process built around that so that during the year, and this is what Sahid had talked about earlier, so that during the year you can take in these new demands and make adjustments as necessary. Always has to happen. You got to be flexible. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, we end up in an optimal place at that moment in time. We're always working to improve what we do so that we can create a more optimal outcome next time. But I think, you know, the process we have is good and it's working very well.
So, Zaid, what do you think you would be doing differently if you were to say, I am at this level of building my portfolio in terms of level of maturity and I need to make it better? And more importantly, can I ensure or guarantee success, at least in the short term, thinking that and not that many variables will change in the business?
Yes, Sanjog. So one of the key improvements that we implemented this year from lessons learned perspective over the past couple of years was having engagement not just at the governance level, but all at various levels within the business line. So Frank talked about that alignment, and same thing for us. That alignment is so critical because if you develop this type of portfolio in a vacuum, that was never going to be even close to the optimal level. So that alignment is very critical, but to take it one step further, it's also important to work at various levels. So, for example, I have a monthly review with all of my peer groups who are the segment executive, segment heads for different business lines we have. And then I have a monthly review with our CEO to go through our entire portfolio. If we have any macro level of things that are changing, whether those are priorities or economics, then we have an executive level governance structure that drives whether the conflict resolution or the change. And then it needs to then trickle down to make sure that we've got all the right pieces aligned as we bring it down to the next level of governance structure.
So, Zaid, in your view, do you think at any given time you have a true idea about your capability for you to be able to promise what is truly deliverable, or you have the ability to deliver?
The ability comes from, again, with that careful planning. You know, once we know that we've got the right plan in place, and, you know, the little flexibility I talked about earlier. So it's kind of an 80-20 to me, that 80% is planning and then really executing on that plan, and 20% you allow some of the flexibility in that model. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, once you have the right plan in place and then you have the right portfolio structure and then the right PMO structure in place, and Frank alluded to some of the tools aspects of it that come into play, then, yeah, you could come very, very close. We were 85% close to where we started last year in terms of our execution.
So, Frank, if you were to go out and say, I'm going to be able to plan for X, Y, and Z projects in my portfolio to be executed in the short term, and if you did not have a good idea, or you could see on a dashboard about your capability, if you did in fact have one in terms of resources, people, processes, and technology to be able to deliver on project, if you overextended yourself, that means you're selling and not planning. And if you are underselling, that means you're leaving money on the table for the organization. So how close are you to your capability awareness, if you will? How closely are you aware of your true capabilities, and how closely do you match that to what you promise and you're not overselling?
I think we're very close to being able to deliver on what we promise. Our execution record over the last 3 years is 92% of the projects on time, 92 to 94. It's a tough agenda, but because we have a portfolio planning process where we're gathering information on what has to be done, you know, we have a very, very good feel for, I would say, the road immediately ahead. We know what's coming. We understand at a greater level of detail what we have to do. But if you look at the horizon, we certainly have much less understanding around that, but we do have a very good open lines of communication. People know where we are, and we know the level of detail that we have been able to gather on any particular initiative. So, you know, our actual projects that we're doing in the first half of the year are very well laid out and very, very well resourced. In the second half of the year, obviously, there's less detail available to do those detailed plans, but people do know they're coming, and they've got placeholders for them. And lastly, our multi-year strategies that we're working on, those are very well laid out. And I would say in the near term, we know exactly where we're going. But, you know, the distant horizon is fuzzy, as it should be. And as we come closer to that horizon, we'll have the details we need to make the trip successfully. So I would say our process is working well because it's been repeatable.
So how do you handle risk management? So, yes, in the ideal world, things will go well, or whatever placeholders we created, to take care of the gaps that might exist in the capability at that moment of time, that would work out. But frankly, life has not been perfect for most people.
Yep. Well, if we talk about, there's two aspects of risk management. If we talk just about the projects, we have a number of risks. We have one, execution risk. We have financial risk. You know, we've been able to actually build good execution because we've been able to understand by working with the business in detail what it is we have to do. We have a common development process that everybody follows. We actually have three of them. We have a system development life cycle. We have an infrastructure project life cycle. And now we have a SaaS, or software as a service, life cycle that people are using. So, you know, there's some differences between business based on, you know, how they built their development models, but predominantly we share these things. And we've eliminated much of the bureaucracy so that we could do this efficiently. At the end of the day, it's repeatable. However, you know, projects that we've priced out now that we don't have a lot of detail on, as those details emerge, we have a discussion with the business on any changes to what we think the scope or cost of those are. And then we're able to agree on that up front. So at managing those expectations and having open lines of communication enable us to really be on the same page. And I think that's the key thing. And, you know, the world isn't perfect, but let's face it, you can have a process to deal with the things that you don't know, because much of the imperfection is getting a better understanding around what it is you have to do and what it costs, and that takes time and work. And, you know, we've, I think, built a relatively good collaboration model where, in fact, those things get on the table and we talk about them.
Zahid, in the perfect world, would love to send you for a 2 weeks vacation where everything was predictable. And yeah, seriously, so what do you think is keeping you going for a 2 week vacation where you've done a proper portfolio planning? And yes, you have had a dashboard of your capability, and yes, you've created placeholders.
Yeah, Sanjog. So the one, if I could just add to what Frank said there, you know, you asked in the beginning about the science versus art. You know, we focus a lot on the science aspects of it, on-time delivery, on-budget, and so on and so forth. The reality is the world, it's not perfect, just like you said. So there needs to be equally the art included in our processes. We can't plan everything ahead of time and assume that we can execute perfectly for the rest of the year. So that's really where the art comes in. And to me, the value comes from the delivery on business objectives. You know, if you're on time, but we didn't deliver on the right value, you know, that may not be as important to our business partners. So there are aspects of it that the art aspects of it to me that become critical. The art of negotiation I referenced earlier. So as we go deeper into project lifecycle, we do find things. Reality is, we do find assumptions that we made earlier on, they may not come true, and therefore we may have to go and readjust, whether it's the scope, the requirements, the plan itself as a whole. But at the end of the day, if you're delivering on the right business value and that negotiation and communication is occurring throughout the process, where we're working, continue to work towards that mutual goal, that's important.
Frank, let's say you really delivered on what the expectations were and you've really built a beautiful looking plan and actually were able to keep it within the risks of measures that were put in place or risk boundaries that you had. Now, guess what? It'll be taken as you did the job that you were assigned to. So great, great job, but then no extra kudos. How about introducing innovation and R&D type of initiatives, which frankly business may not care in the beginning, but if you show them some successes, they would love you for that. Where do you get the place, or how do you get the business to buy or give you the place for those projects so that you can really grow IT and business together and not just keep building projects just because business told you so?
Yeah. Well, as I said earlier, you know, IT really does have a seat at the table. So, you know, our job in those planning discussions is to make sure those discussions are informed with what's available in the technology space that would enable the business. So technology is informing the business as to what's possible. We have an ongoing dialogue about those things, at least the CIO of each business does with their partners. And, you know, where technology has a purpose, has a value, and creates a competitive advantage, the business buys into it. If we can't get the business to buy into an idea, we either haven't been able to articulate properly what it is, or really it doesn't have the right level of business value to compete with the other projects that are in the portfolio. So as I said earlier, you can't run IT projects. We have to run business projects. And it's the process that gets us to wise use of technology and enabling the business to compete in the marketplace.
Let's take a quick break, so listeners. We'll be right back, and we will further deep dive, take a deep dive into this, because sometimes business going in may not even buy into that project, but we have to show them some successes, some live proof for them to say, yes, I like what you're showing me. And if you keep looking for that buy-in up front, then that may not happen. So how do you make sure that you get that additional time and resources and funding and buy-in for those R&D? And yes, Frank, love the response that you provided. Perhaps we can look at those areas where those projects are not upfront bought, but you know as an IT leader, this would really help business and be able to sell to them. Please stay tuned.
Yep.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Cloud computing is on the rise, yet many IT professionals are hesitant to adapt due to concerns about security and reliability. If this is you, join Chen-Shi Wang, security analyst at Forrester, for a webinar on February 23rd as she addresses the most pertinent questions surrounding cloud security and software as a service. This free webinar is brought to you by Citrix GoToAssist. To register, visit GoToAssist.com/cloud. That's GoToAssist.com/cloud. Don't miss out.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So quickly, Frank, while as we discussed just before the break, business may see or may not see value in some of the areas or projects that you might see value in, and then those may not readily get accepted in the portfolio. How do you sneak them in, or how do you take care of them anyways and surprise them and see, look, this is a value, so I want to now include them in the portfolio?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. They've got to see the value. And, you know, they don't really see the details underneath everything that we run, nor should they, right? We have a very, very complex infrastructure. They've got to be able to see and use the solutions that you develop, but understanding at the level of detail we do, how things fit together, all the technologies and the infrastructure and everything else, that's really our role. But I'll give you a perfect example. You know, as a corporation, we're really redoing all of our data centers. And it's not something the business would ever come to you and ask you to do. It's something you've got to take forward. It's a very large investment, and you've got to be able to make a business case. And frankly, you know, we refresh our technology on a regular basis. This is a facility. We're coming in, you know, we're going to be buying, you know, a pod or a third-party managed data center. And I was able to make a very, very clear case, show them that the infrastructure had aged, show them that we don't want to be in the critical infrastructure business anymore, which is managing the electric, the cooling, and the fire suppression. We could just buy that as a service in a professionally managed facility. And we could show them the economics as well and what it would do for the business. So it became very, very clear that as a corporation, this was the right move. Technology is moving in that direction. We've got to go with it. And I've gotten the executives of the firm on board with doing that. So it's a matter of getting the facts and explaining in business terms what we need to do and why. And they're all good business people, right? When you can come forward with the right case, they get it. And we're all aligned about making sure that we do the right thing for the firm. So, you know, with that level of alignment, we're able to get to the right answer.
Now, with this being said, so much effort goes from IT leadership standpoint and business leader standpoint, and also your crew as IT crew. What's in it for everybody? Yes, business gets the end result and they're happy. They get kudos. They get raises. IT leader, yes, is connected and has seat at the table, so they are also seen. What is it for the rest of them? And frankly, the crew is what makes this all successful. How are you connecting the measurement of success and the incentives and the motivation factors, Saeed?
Yes, Sanjok, so that's a very, very critical point, because we talked about aligning those goals and objectives. And when their goals and objectives are aligned and your incentives are tied to the same common goals and objectives at the corporate level and then at each segment or departmental level, then the incentive process has to be aligned accordingly as well. In our organization, our incentives are 100% tied to company's goals. So when we develop our scorecard, it's in concert and in concurrence with working with our business partners, whether it's the measurements around portfolio, whether it's the measurement of risk, or whatever else that that we're working on, the stability and other aspects of it, that there's a direct and close linkage to those corporate goals and objectives, and therefore the incentive structure.
So if you had to go out and try to talk to your CEO, for example, and we, in a way, answer that question partially saying that they don't need to know. But how much of that should they see versus not see in order for them to say, are you guys even doing anything? You're just coming asking me for a bunch of money and you're going to deliver this capability, but how do I know what business initiatives are tied to what projects and portfolio-related items, which is going to deliver this capability, and that's why you're asking me this much money. How much more insight do you need to provide to your top guy, Frank?
Well, I'll tell you, I think the key thing here is that, you know, credibility is built one project at a time. And, you know, as long as you're working closely with the business, you're not doing IT projects, you're doing business projects, they're jointly owned, and I'll tell you that's very important. All of our projects are jointly owned. The business owns what they need to own. We own what we need to own. We're in it together, and we share the outcome. And I'm really not the one going out to tell the CEO, look at what a great return on investment all these IT projects are making, right? We're building products and services, revenue's going up. The business is saying, I'm very happy with IT, I like it. And that is the only result you've got to shoot for, right? It's the credibility that you've enabled the business, you've built the strong relationships, they like the results, and they give you a good rating. Because if you build great technology, but it's not used by the business because you did in a vacuum, you miss the mark totally, and you're not going to get the benefit out of it. And then the CEO might be saying, what am I getting for this? But we don't have those questions, right? It's, did we achieve the business objectives and the plans, and did we execute on them? And, you know, if we didn't have the right earnings, why not? And those are bigger issues, right?
Sure. And Saeed, so talking about measurement, so one was, of course, the measurement and the incentives. Other is that how do you know if your program / portfolio optimization exercise was truly successful? Do you have a quantifiable measure? Or if everybody says thumbs up to you, that's what a good measure for you?
No, some of them are, Sanjok, the traditional measurements of the on time, on budget, and those types of deliveries. And we do have those on our portfolio scorecard also that we regularly monitor and measure and report on, and they do tie to our balanced scorecard also at the organizational level. But then there is also, to me, the measurement of value. And as Frank referenced also, that, you know, the value is determined in different ways. There's the growth value, which is revenue generally, and then there is the risk aspects of, you know, the industries that we're in, that there is a tremendous amount of risk that we manage, and we do quantify that and measure that against the portfolio. And then there's the efficiency ratio that we have to keep getting better at what we do, and we want to make sure that we're driving those efficiencies through technology and measuring that as well.
Frank, if you had to come in as an auditor for the portfolio that was created by somebody else, what would be your checklist to see if this is truly done the right way and it is looking right?
Well, the first thing I'd want to do is I'd want to understand as an auditor what the firm's process is. Secondly, I would want to make sure that in the process itself was followed. I would expect to see an enterprise strategy and planning process where a set of strategies and initiatives cascade down through the firm. and that those objectives are reflected in what the firm put together, line of business and IT, and I could actually have traceability all the way down to the projects or the benefits they're supposed to achieve for the corporation. If I didn't see that cascading of strategies and initiatives and projects, right away I would know that we're not going to have the right outcome, because I would know the alignment wasn't there, and there would be no way to actually be able to track the value of what was being done because you didn't have those business goals and metrics aligned properly with the portfolio. So I would start there without a doubt.
So if you suppose started there, and Zahid, I'll take this to the next level. Suppose as per Frank, you found that, yes, indeed, the strategy was well aligned, but then there are pieces of that portfolio which might raise red flags in your view. So if you had to really go with a critical eye and review an IT portfolio or project program portfolio, what all things would you be able to pick on?
Yeah, so, Sanjok, we, on the investment types of initiatives, especially the strategic initiatives, we have a measurement structure for each business case. There needs to be an IRR, which stands for investment rate of return. And we have a target around that as a company level, at the CFO level, that any business case that has an IRR of greater of whatever that number is, X, then it makes the list. Otherwise, we go through that negotiation process that I alluded to earlier.
Yeah, I would second that. I agree with Zahid. You know, we have, once you have the optimal process to get to a portfolio, I agree wholeheartedly. You get down to the detail of, at an individual project or initiative level, are you getting the right return, and do you have a process that right. allows you to arrive at a common measure of that as a corporation so that you can compare them and choose what you've actually got in the portfolio?
That's right. And then there's the I alluded to the risk management. I mean, we are, but financial services, especially in general, is heavily regulated, and there's tremendous amount of risk as you're exchanging money and so on and so forth. So we do put a lot of focus around information security, regulatory compliance, and those aspects of it. And that has to be measured, because otherwise it starts to create conflicts for growth-based or efficiency-based initiatives. So we track that separately, but align with the overall portfolio, and there's a measurement structure around what constitutes a high risk versus medium risk versus low risk, and where we put our focus on. And then the third aspect of is the efficiency aspects I talked about, is to measure that, whether it's an efficiency from the cost reduction perspective, cost avoidance perspective, or something that we're trying to take a more strategic path to look at certain aspects of that deficiency and make sure that it's tightly coupled with our strategic plan.
So, Frank, suppose somebody has a headache. That could be a brain tumor, or it could just be a migraine, or just because they ate too much ice cream. There could be different reasons why somebody would have a headache. Now, the same way, if a problem is there in the way business is getting delivery from IT, that could be plenty of reasons behind them. How about looking at which particular diagnosis would tell you, what symptoms will tell you that it is a problem with the portfolio?
You know, if I would say the ultimate symptom or measure is whether or not you're achieving the benefits that you set out to achieve. So, you know, when we have a portfolio, there are a number of reasons we're doing a project. One is that it's going to generate some revenue. One is it's going to cut expense. Another one is that it's a compliance project, or, in fact, we're dealing with some kind of operational risk in the corporation. Each of those has a measurement, right, and a goal, and I would want to see whether or not there's a method for tracking and capturing that. And if you don't have a method of ensuring that you're achieving the outcomes you stated, then you don't have a way of going back and doing the course corrections needed to prevent it the next time.
Let's take a
joke.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pardon me, if I could just add to that. And Frank referenced earlier about the project portfolio management tool like Clarity. We use something similar also. To me, it's also important to, on an ongoing basis, that there's direct involvement from the CIO level and at the business executive level to make sure that there are right level of dashboards, there are right level of triggers, that generally the triggers at the project level or portfolio level that are out there that raise the risk or the flag. And then we have a plan to manage to that. So anything in my world, when it turns into red, it's a very hard requirement to what we call having a road to green plan. So how do we go from, therefore, make sure that we've got a plan, something, a project turn red, to turn it to green, and there's a path to get there.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back, and let's explore the very fact today that while it seems like both of you are very lucky, at the same time very capable to be able to get a portfolio in place which is delivering value, and it looks like close to being optimal. But most organizations have experienced that while they have tried it, or perhaps they don't know how to try it, either case, they do not have something in place where it looks like it's close to being optimal, and that's why they are suffering. It's not that they may not have tried, but perhaps there are some mistakes being made. So what are those potential gotchas, pitfalls, safeguards that you have to put in place as you go about doing this planning over and over on a regular basis, that you do reach that maturity state that you've been able to achieve in your respective organizations? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Cloud computing is on the rise, yet many IT professionals are hesitant to adapt due to concerns about security and reliability. If this is you, join Chen-Shi Wang, security analyst at Forrester, for a webinar on February 23rd as she addresses the most pertinent questions surrounding cloud security and software as a service. This free webinar is brought to you by Citrix GoToAssist. To register, visit GoToAssist.com/cloud. That's GoToAssist.com/cloud. Don't miss out.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
All right, great. So, Frank, let's start with you here. It seems like you guys are very lucky and very capable at the same time that you've been able to get the optimal portfolio in place, and of course, being able to carry that all along as a successful exercise. Most organizations are struggling with it. So is it that their foundation is wrong, or is they are doing something with respect to people, process, technology, management wrong, or they're not as political? Where do you think the problem could be?
You know, I think it could be all of the above, and there are many reasons that, you know, you may have a portfolio that's not at all aligned. Number one, you know, the enterprise has to want to achieve some level of alignment of that portfolio. So, you know, I believe it starts with a governance model that the corporation is using to build a set of strategies and cascade these down through the company with line of business objectives and then IT objectives that align. You've got to have strong relationships, and as a firm, you've got to believe that strong relationships really matter and help you achieve a much better result in the planning process, because it is a dialogue. There are a lot of people involved. They've got to work together. You've got to have an open, transparent dialogue where people can share what they believe freely, and those things can be debated, right? It can't be about egos and winning. It's got to be about getting to the right result. So depending on how that corporation is structured, what they believe in, how they operate, you're going to get a good outcome or you're going to get a less than desirable outcome. You've got to have strong relationships, deep collaboration, a set of shared processes, and a commitment to doing it right with an open dialogue and the level of transparency you need to actually debate the facts. And if you don't have that, I think you're going to struggle.
Now, if that is not existing, Zahid, in your view, should a CIO say it's not a good job for me to continue with, or is it something that is repairable?
No, it's absolutely repairable. Not only repairable, it's essential. To be in the CIO role, to me, that's one of the key characteristic or requirement for that role. Now, not only having that seat at the table, but having the alignment, the relationships, and then working with those business lines to make sure we understand the priorities, the strategies, helping with that value creation we alluded to earlier, very critical. We started down this path, Sanjok. We had a negative $135 million return on $100 million worth of investment. And so once you start to translate it at that level of value and say, okay, we need to really turn that into every investment we make needs to have a 2x, 3x return from IT investment perspective, then you don't get any argument. And then once you put a plan behind it, say, here's how we can drive that value, and then we can go and execute and deliver, there's no argument.
So if somebody like you goes out and proposes the best possible optimal portfolio and you get a pushback, and yes, you can have the seat at the table and everybody would want to be a friend, but if their own job is at stake, they are going to push back, and you feel that it is right and you want to make sure that you are typically sticking your neck out for the right cause, then do you think, is it a risk or is it the right thing to do? And if you get fired for that, it's okay as well.
It's absolutely the right thing to do if you believe in and quantify that value, that it does drive a value for the company. Then it doesn't matter whether it's a job, whether it's making somebody mad or upset and what have you. It's absolutely the right thing to do. The coaching I have given my team is that if there is a solid business case out there throughout the year, it comes into play, and it's only getting stopped because of the lack of IT capacity or constraints and what have you, that is not acceptable. We have to figure out a way to deliver on those types of things. So we look at, I personally look at that business case before we turn it away. And if there's a value to it, whether somebody agrees with it or whether it's due to the constraints I alluded to, it's our responsibility to make sure we do the right thing for the company.
So what do you think, Frank, are the best set of attributes that are expected if you wanted to drive an optimal IT portfolio within an organization, even though if you had a group which was dedicated to doing it?
I think you've got to actually be able to define a very good planning process if it doesn't exist and try to get the corporation to adopt it. You can certainly work at a line of business level and get it adopted and rolled out there. If you can't do it at the enterprise, that might be a bigger thing to bite off depending on the size of the corporation. But you have to work to enable those behaviors in the corporation, having the right processes, the right relationships. And you've got to build relationships and use those to get to the right result. This stuff makes sense. Right, and I don't think it's that difficult to ultimately sell that good planning and good results are going to help everybody. The businesses want that just as much as IT does. And if you can get a success in one of the organizations, if it doesn't exist at the enterprise, you could take it forward with your business partner as a model that should be adopted elsewhere. But it's just time.
Very last question for you, Zahid. If people are trying what they are able to best understand, perhaps listening to our show and any other resource that they may have available, but if it's still not working, is there any external source that they can look up to?
Yeah, there are a lot of governance structures and information available out there. Certainly the PMI Institute provides quite a bit of that type of a skill set. Capability maturity model, the SEI organization provides quite a bit of that information. We use the some other sources, such as the CIO Executive Board and Gartner, for those purposes as well.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd like to really thank you, Zahid and Frank. It was a great discussion. I guess we made some good points here, and I hope that IT leaders will be able to utilize the right mix of people, process, technology, influence management, and politics in a healthy way to drive an optimal portfolio in the organization. So thank you so much again.
Yep, pleasure. Glad to be a part of it. Thank you.
If you have any questions, please send us the thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog All next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.